Matthew chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." We just sang about this. "Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse 3, When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you. Thank you for the greatest gift ever given in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, thank you that you not only gave us him, but made a way that we could receive him. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time as we open up your word, that we'd consider our standing in you, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be convicted. And God, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified through it all. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we're told of some wise men coming from the east. Many of you have seen the sign or have said something similar of wise men still seek Jesus, and that's true. There were some wise men that came and they sought out the Lord. Jump down with me to verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed." Herod says, just to tell you what happens between verse 3 and 9, Herod says, "Oh yeah, I would like to worship him. When you find him, let me know." Now, we know that that was not true. But Herod was dealing with wise men, right? People that walked with the Lord. And just because someone says something to you, the Lord can lead you and guide you in that. That's a different sermon. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Remember the day you found Christ? Oh, the great joy. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother," and the Bible says, "and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." As we examine this passage, we see wise men coming from the east to present gifts to the child Jesus. It doesn't tell us his age, calls him a child, doesn't call him a baby anymore. We don't see him necessarily wrapped in swaddling clothes. They're no longer in the manger. He's no longer in the manger, and he's no longer in the barn, if you will. It says that they came into the house, indicating that maybe some time has passed. These three kings, often depicted by their three gifts. If you buy a nativity set, what do we have? We have Mary and Joseph and the little baby. We usually have some animals. And then off to the side, there's usually some shepherds, and then three kings with the purple and the yellow and the red and the blue and the green and the just indicating their royalty. And there's usually three. And I understand it doesn't say that there were three kings, and I understand that, but each king depicting the three gifts that were given: frankincense, myrrh, and gold, which then leads us to December 25th. What is that? A major part of our day that day maybe is spent, yes, with time, spent time with family and friends. Maybe you're going to have a special dinner that day. Maybe you do a special dinner Christmas Eve. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they're trying prime rib for the first time this year. Man, praise the Lord, that's exciting. Excited about that. Got a special recipe, and they're doing things. Maybe there's some decorations up at your house or whatever. And there's going to come a time where you, as a family or friends, sit around and exchange gifts. You've sought high and low for the perfect gift. Use that word "perfect" somewhat in quotes. We try as gift givers. Yesterday I had a great idea. The Saturday before Christmas, I thought it would be time to start shopping. And so we went to the mall yesterday and took the kids and sent the teenagers one way because I had to get something for the boys. We got them some other things, but we had a great idea. And walked into the mall, and I went to the store. I said, "This is what I'm looking for." He's like, "Sorry, sold out." Sold out? Well, that's unfortunate. My perfect gift has just been squashed. So we replaced it with a second perfect gift, and there we are. Sometimes as maybe you've opened the perfect gift, sometimes it hits the mark. Sometimes, Mrs. Aldred, it does not. Maybe you already had it. I remember as a kid getting duplicate gifts. Maybe you don't need it. Ever open something and go, "What on earth am I going to do with this?" A stack of carbon paper. Wonderful. It just really is somewhat obsolete these days, but, you know, praise the Lord. Thank you, Grandma. If my grandma's watching, she does not give carbon paper. All right. Maybe ever get something. I remember a few years ago, my wife's sister got the children some pajamas that would fit probably a 6'6" person, approximately 400 pounds. By mistake, in the packaging, you think of your nieces and nephews larger than they are, I guess. It doesn't fit. Or you put it on and you can't even get your hands in. Ever get something, open it, and it's broken? Ugh. Or ever give something and they open it and it doesn't work how it's supposed to? Sometimes the kids buy each other stuff and they shop within their means, right? We teach them to do that. And within their means, sometimes limits. "Dad, look at this. This is a remote control airplane with a camera and all that. How much was that?" "It was only $2, Dad." All right, and they take it out, and the camera is just like pixelated, if at all, and the battery, you put 5 or 8 D batteries in, and by the time it can't lift off, and it's just, that's just not what, or just maybe not your style. Ever get something that's just 20 years ago, or I'm old, so like if new stuff, I just can't make that work. Skinny anything is just not good for me right now. The perfect gift, sometimes it hits the mark, sometimes it doesn't. I want to give you 3 principles of gift giving. Say, what is that? I didn't know there were principles of gift giving. There is this morning. Number one, the gift represents the thoughts of the giver. As we get ready for gifts, our gift to one another is a token or representation of us. What we think about that one that we're going to give a gift to. This is my view of you. This is the best I could do. This is what it is. It's a token of appreciation and care. Point number one represents the giver. Number two, it acknowledges or has some knowledge of the one who receives it, considers needs, wants, and taste. And then principle number three, it holds its value as time goes by. We know some gifts are expendable. What does that mean? Are quickly consumed. Maybe they're eaten. Praise the Lord. We love edible gifts. But can I say some of the nicer gifts have a little bit longer of a lifespan, a longevity? Maybe, we were at a family's house this week, and the person there was showing us some things she was older than I was, and she was showing us some things at her house that her mother had given her. Nice Christmas decorations that have stood the test of time. Why? Because they were a little bit nicer. 3 principles. Number one, the gift represents the giver. Number two, considers the needs of the receiver. Number three, the value The longevity of the gift determines the value. Now, looking at Matthew chapter 2 and kind of putting this all together, we can kind of see where we're going with this. God gave us a gift representing His throne. And that gift considered our needs, wants, and tastes. And that gift has eternal value. Not every gift is good for everybody. This week, oh, praise the Lord, Miss Obie, where is she? Is she in junior church? She made us these little peanut butter things that were straight from heaven. They were delicious and wonderful. My niece and my father-in-law, though, have a peanut allergy. And as wonderful as that would be for me, it doesn't necessarily work for her or my father-in-law. Jesus Christ is the gift that everybody needs. No one can look at God and say, no, I'm all set. I didn't need that. I don't want that. No, we're going to look at all three aspects of the principles, the three principles of gift giving through the eyes of God and Christ. John chapter 3, some of these verses are going to be familiar to you, but please follow along and please pay attention. I propose we will be done by 2 o'clock for sure. No problem with that. John chapter 3. In verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Principle number one in our gift-giving principle is that we consider the gift a representation of the giver. God, what do you think of me? Well, we know in John chapter 3 and verse 16, God loved me. He loves you. God loves you. And if you're here, if you're watching online, or if you're sitting here underneath the umbrella of my voice, I don't care what your circumstance is, I can confidently say that God loves you. God loves you. I know this because of what He has done for you. The giver of the greatest gift ever given was an act of love. For God so loved the world, therefore He gave. And that's what we do around this time of year. Some people are opposed to giving gifts. Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to. No one's mandating. You don't have to. You don't have to do it. But in similar actions, as we consider the gift that, or God's expression to us in love, He gave a gift. It's not wrong to love somebody and give them something. But is there no greater act of love than God towards man? It represents what the Lord thinks of us. Do you know He gave us His Son whether we accept Him or not? There's a world out there, two or three houses down this way, two or four houses down that way. And there's a group of people, a contingency in this world, that have not accepted Jesus Christ. Yet God still gave Him as a gift. Whether people accept Jesus or not, He loved us and sent Him. Look at John chapter 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. There's no greater love than the love that God has for us. No greater love. There's nothing. There's no one. There's no circumstance that could stand before God and say, you don't love me. There's no one that can say that. Greater love hath no man than this, I love this time of year. Say, it's busy, it's crazy. True, that's true. But there's a window where we just stop and think about God's love towards us and consider Jesus Christ the Savior of the world. God loves you. What a blessing that is. The gift represents the giver. I know this about God. He loves me. Number two, look at Psalm 96. Psalm 96. So glad you chose to be with us this morning. Pray for those that are still not feeling well, under recovery and trying to do. And just want to let you know that church is open if you're watching online. And we'd love to have you. We would love to have you in these seats. We sanitize, we clean, we mask, we do all that kind of stuff. So if you're watching online, if you're a member here of Walker Bible Baptist Church, I invite you to come to church. We would love to see your smiling face. We'd love to see even your grumpy face. And we just would love to have you come back. You can only stay away for so long before the pastor gets a little nagging. All right? So there you are. Just as kindly, Psalm 96. What do we know about God? Number one, He loves us. Number two, God is holy. Look at Psalm 96 and verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Remember, it says, fear before Him all the earth. Remember when the wise men came and worshiped Him. We see that connection between God's holiness and worship. God is a holy God. If you don't know that, see, we're busy about life. Yesterday I was at the mall and we're walking around. Man, it's tough to recognize people. We stopped, I was with Joe, we needed some breakfast. We stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, we were getting a bagel, and there was a girl standing behind the counter. She's got a hat on, and she's got a mask on up to here, and it's like, I think I know you, but I don't know. And she wasn't wearing a name tag. I'm like, are you Haley? And she's like, are you Mr. Russo? I'm like, I am. And it was Haley Wichendahl, and it was good to see her. And it's tough to see or recognize people. So there we are. We're walking through the mall, and I'm thinking, hey, is that Aunt B? And sure enough, it was Aunt B. And, we saw her, and there's people walking around, and people are busy, right? They're hustling and bustling. There was the longest line at the mall, if you're wondering, was to the pretzel shop. The sneaker shop takes the smell of sneakers and pumps it out, but the pretzel shop has a lock on the venting system, and they pump the smell of pretzels into that mall. And people that don't even like pretzels are standing in line. And people are busy. And they're going here and there. You probably ran errands yesterday. We stopped and we were getting some stuff, and I could not. We were parked at Tractor Supply. Anybody go to Tractor Supply? Had to make a left out of Tractor Supply here in Brockport at about 10:30 Saturday morning, the Saturday before Christmas. Say, how did that go? Very poorly. Very poorly. We were waiting there. Joe can be my witness. There was no out. The guy behind me got out of the vehicle, walked past my vehicle, stopped traffic, and let me out. That's just where we're living right now, right? It's just busy. It was a Christmas miracle. It was. It had the makings of a Hallmark movie. We connected, we exchanged numbers. It was nice. We're just busy. But in the busyness of our life, there is a holy, righteous God that's seated on the throne. And right now, even though we're plotting and planning our special days up and coming, right now around the throne of God, there are created beings. In Isaiah chapter 9, it tells us, or in Isaiah chapter 6, it tells us just calling out, holy, holy, holy. Because our God is a holy God. Our God is a loving God, therefore He expressed His love through Christ. Our God is a holy God, therefore He gave us something that no one else could give us, a holy gift. while we're living our life, God is being glorified constantly for his holiness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The gift represents the giver. Tell me about Jesus. Well, he was holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The definition of holy is completely absent from that which is evil. We know nothing in this world outside of Christ that can completely and perfectly satisfy that. A holy God gives holy gifts. And that's Jesus. That he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord for the sinless gift, the holy gift of Christ. Thirdly, the giver of the gift, number one, loves us unconditionally. Number two is holy. Number three is incredibly gracious. Maybe at your workplace there's a new person or something, and they don't know that we don't get gifts for everybody. And maybe on Monday you're going to walk into work and there's going to be a present at your cubicle or at your desk or something of that sort, and you're going to feel that obligation. Oh, I didn't get something for somebody. So you're going to quick run out, try and rack your brain. Hey, I got to get something for this guy because he just got me something. Didn't know we were to that level in our friendship, right? God's gift of grace is unmerited favor. Meaning we don't deserve that. It was just an act of love. It was incredibly gracious. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Jesus Christ is a gift, and it's a gracious gift, coming from a gracious God. God is gracious. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This morning, we are looking at the gift everybody needs. It comes from a loving, holy, gracious God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the image of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. For the grace of God. When Jesus Christ took that first breath in Luke chapter 2, Matthew, that was the manifestation of God's grace. A gracious God gives a gift of grace. Principle number one in gift giving. Remember principle number two. The gift ought to consider the receiver. Consider the needs of that one receiving. Here's something that we all need. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And that means we need something. We need forgiveness. Look at with me in Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We have a lot of verses here this morning. In a few moments, I'll start reading them. I'm going to take you to the book of Romans. Just leave you in Romans, and I'll read you a bunch of verses so we can get through. Romans chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I need forgiveness. Say, why do I need forgiveness? Because I'm a sinner. And I've offended a holy, righteous God. And God considered my need and made a way. The gift that he gave me considered my greatest need. Five children live in my house, a dog, a cat, a frog. That's it. A field mouse occasionally. The children and the animals feel like they have needs that are unrecognized by those in charge. The dog feels like he needs to sleep on the comfortable furniture. No. No, you don't. You don't come up on the couch. You stay out of my chair, for sure. Maybe Sarah will let you sneak into hers, but not mine. And oftentimes we think we need certain things, but we do not. Mom, Dad, I need... Hey, Joe, can you get me... I actually need a glass of water. Mom, Dad, I need... No, no. No, you don't need that. You would like that. And we correct them, and they go, like, yeah, I know. I want it. Yeah. But we truly did have a need. We needed forgiveness of sins. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I did learn something yesterday at the mall. If you'd like to get to the front of the line, just cough a couple times. Man, easy. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches. Do you see his next phrase? Thank you, buddy. According to the riches of his grace. Remember, what kind of giver are we dealing with? We're dealing with an unconditional, loving, holy, gracious God. And he gave us a gift that met our greatest need. I need forgiveness. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I was hoping that when I opened that gift of salvation, I would find inside. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And ye shall bring forth a son, the Bible says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. I needed forgiveness. I needed salvation. The Bible tells me in John 1:12, but as many as received him. You know, there's a gift. I can wrap it. We can make it look pretty and nice with the little things up here. But Justin, until you receive it, it's just a gift sitting off to the side. But as many as received him, you can take it. I'm going to need it back in a second. It's just an empty box. It represents a gift. But what did he have to do? He had to take it. Salvation is available to all men. We just have to take it. What a great gift. Could you imagine December 26th, a pile of presents underneath your Christmas tree? Say, what are those for? Yeah, I just didn't want those. Are you kidding? Someone sacrificed, someone saved, someone put money aside, someone put thought aside for you. Yeah, I just didn't want it. Listen, we have the greatest need ever in needing Jesus' forgiveness of sins. I'll open it later. What? Why wouldn't you want forgiveness? Why wouldn't you want salvation? Why wouldn't you want to be... Not only does he forgive us of our sins, give us salvation, but then he justifies us instantaneously. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. I'll read it to you. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. A gracious God gives a gracious gift. and being justified by his grace. He makes it as if we had never sinned before. That's true forgiveness. What a blessing that is. Romans chapter 5. Now we're going to stay in Romans for a little bit. We're going to jump around in it, but I'll leave you in Romans and I'll read you some verses. Romans chapter 5. Love the Word of God. It teaches us, it leads us, it guides us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, what did he bring us? Justification. See, that's a big word. What does that mean? It means a clean slate, just as if I never sinned. Look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. Clean slate. I am no longer a felon. A full pardon has been granted. What a gift. I read some articles and things, and we have a process in our prison system. If you commit a crime, okay, here in theory, this is how it goes. If you commit a crime, you go to they catch you and they take you and they put you in a metal room, and they say, okay, you stay here, and then you're going to plead your case to the judge. And then you go and you tell the case to the judge, and then they find you guilty, and then they send you away back to that metal room for an extended period of time. And then after you pay your time, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's 5 years, whatever it is, depending on the crime, you get back out. And you want to try and rebuild your life. You've had you've had a change of thought. You've put away that old life. It's a new life. I'm no longer going to do what I want to do. And you go and you walk into the store and the business and say, I would like a job. Okay, can you fill this application out? Yes, okay. What's your name? There. Okay, date of birth. There, social security number. I don't like sharing that. Well, okay, I'll do it. And there, address, references, boom, boom, boom. Have you ever committed a felony? Yes. I'm sorry. Not available. Job's not available. And then you go to the next place. The next place, the next place, the next place. And you've been reformed, but you can't get out from underneath that tag of criminal. God justified you. That gift of salvation wasn't just a moment. And we're going to get into this. It lasts a lifetime. Actually, even longer. For all eternity. He justified you. You are no longer a felon. You got a clean slate. A full pardon. The receiver of the gift met our need. Number two, when we, you got to be careful what you say around the house, starting right after Thanksgiving. Hey, I need a new toothbrush. Well, Christmas. I need a new pair of shoes. My socks are getting, Christmas. Got a little another. But what about wants? There's going to be a lot of presents that are given. They're not a need. You don't need that. It's just something that you wanted. God considered that. And not just meeting our needs, but something that we would want. The Bible says in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He met our need of salvation with forgiveness, with justification. But it crossed over into wants. What is that? A relationship. What does everybody want? A relationship. We're people based on relationships. We spend time with one another. We want friendships, family. It's a want that we have. And God said, all right, I'll not only forgive you of your sin, but I'm going to do one step further. I'm going to actually adopt you and make you my child. I'm going to establish, I'm going to be with you, he says. Matthew 1:23. Galatians 4:5 says this, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, and we're quickly coming to the end of this. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received, remember John 1:12, remember Justin? But as many as received him, what did you receive? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He not only considered our needs, but he met what every person wants. To be accepted and loved. A family. He says, I'll be your father. And you'll be my child. I'm going to have a relationship with you. How wonderful is that? The receiver of the gift, not only did he meet our needs, but he met our wants. But he even went above and beyond that. James chapter 1, I have it here. The Bible says, don't turn there because I'm going to keep you in Romans. James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He even considered our tastes. Say, how so? It's like it was perfectly designed for you. Perfectly designed. I could give you a gift. It might be an expression of what I like, but not considering your wants or taste. My son Joe likes the Yankees. I'm coming to you next, Primer. I wouldn't get him a Cleveland Indians hat. Number one, Indian stuff is getting harder to find. Indians, they're changing the name. Anyways. But that's not his taste. Yesterday, I bought a gift for Sam. I sent a picture to Sarah. She says, no. I didn't even get out of the mall and I returned a gift already. Why? Because it just wasn't his taste. It just wasn't his style. It would be like getting Brother Primer an OSU shirt. Ohio State. Here, brother, I love you. I care for you. I bet you're cold. Here's a sweatshirt that says Ohio State Buckeyes. Say, what's the problem? He's a Michigan fan and never the twain shall meet. That's just not his taste. And God says, hey, every good gift and perfect gift, everything I do for you will be perfect, he says. It will satisfy you. It will meet your needs, your wants, and even your specific tastes. God talks to us perfectly, how he leads us and guides us as individuals. It's a perfect fit for everyone. You might go to the store and say, oh, this is a beautiful dress. And you hold it up and it's got the right cut. It's modest. It's high quality material. It's just beautiful. You look at the price tag and it'll stretch you a little bit, but I think I can make it work. And then you take it home and give it to your husband. Look at this. Isn't this? This is for you. It's beautiful. This is not my taste. This is not something I would want or need. See, God considered you in the Son, Jesus Christ. And he met every need, every want, and every desire you could possibly have. And our third principle in gift giving, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a longevity of the gift. It lasts. Say, what is the gift, the benefit of things to come? Well, in the use of salvation, the Bible says Jesus Christ will be our rest. Hey, maybe in your heart you have some anguish, anxiety, rough things going on. Do you understand that the gift of salvation provides rest to you? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light, he says. The longevity of the gift, it is good to come. You know what, maybe Christmas Day, I don't know what your house is like, but we're trying to get the paper, make sure we didn't throw any parts of toys away, and we're sorting through all of that, and we're looking through that. And then we have just a lull time where we just get to spend time together as a family and experience the gifts that we gave each other. And I feel like that's kind of my life for the last 32 years. I got something in June of 1988, and I have just been living off that thing every single day, experiencing the joys and the peace and the rest that only comes in Christ. The longevity of the gift, number one, it provides rest. Number two, it provides hope. The only hope for this world is Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Romans 8, 24. If you look out in the world or you watch the news and you're discouraged, understand this, that Jesus Christ is the only answer. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, He's our only hope, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Look at Romans chapter 15, a familiar verse maybe to us. Romans 15, 13, and we're almost done. Now the God of hope fill you with all, look at these next two words, joy and peace. Joy to the world. It's through Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's only through Christ. Man against man will bring unrest, war, but through Christ, there's joy and peace. He is our only hope. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our hope. Number three, it'll last eternity. John chapter 8. Remember photo books? Photo albums? Remember those things? You would take pictures, and then you would go to Wegmans or someplace, and you'd give them a roll of film. And maybe 3 to 5 days, you would get back a package and it had, 3.5 by 5 or 4 by 6 photos in it. And you were always so excited. Did any of these pictures turn out, right? And you would take the pictures and maybe you took a bunch of pictures of Christmas Day or whatever. And maybe you did it by year. Maybe you did it by person. Organized your photos, and here's this person's photo book. And you open it from the first one, and it's like a little lizard, the day two of their life. And, you slowly progress, and, here's this little person at 5 years old, and here's the first time they experienced their toes, and here's the first time they ate peanut butter, and it's all in their hair, and this is the first time they lost a tooth. And you're following their life in picture form. And then years later, you get to look at your own photo album and enjoy that. My sister and I, as children, would love to look at our own photo albums. And although we didn't remember the stories, we would retell the stories, and it just helped keep that. And you would look through and, oh, I love that outfit. Man, I love that sweater. What happened to that thing? Well, you were 8, and it no longer fits you. Do you know that the gift of salvation never wears out? Never goes bad? It's eternal. John chapter 6 and verse 37, it says this, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Say, I'm a mess. God says he's not going to cast you away. You can't undo the relationship between the Father and the Son. John chapter 10, verse 28. John 10, 28. And I give unto them, what kind of life? Eternal life. Hey, if we gauge the value of the gift based on the longevity that it'll last, the most valuable, greatest gift ever given is one that will last eternity. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man, you included, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You can't. Second to last verse, Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. When I opened that package, that gift of salvation, when I was 10 years old and I experienced joy and I experienced the peace that passes all understanding, that I was justified, that I was forgiven, do you understand that that same thing is going inside of my heart even today? And one day I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ and God Himself, and He's going to say, I don't know what He's going to say. Why are you here? And I'm going to point to Him. Because of Jesus. That'll work. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't get moldy. It doesn't break down. Actually, it just keeps getting better and better. The more I learn about God, the more I know about that gift, the better He gets. Told you about my truck. When I got my truck, we were doing stuff, and when we picked it up, the guy pretty much just gave me a key and said, there you go. I'm like, I don't have to sign anything? No, you're good. Wow. Okay. So we're driving. We get back to the house. And we're looking, and you know, a pickup truck has a tailgate that drops down like this. Closing, and the tailgate didn't work so well. It took like 3 grown men to lift it and get it into place. So we opened it, and we're all excited and closing it, and opening it, and closing it. And we see on the bumper, it says release. What's that? I stick my hand underneath the tailgate and I click something and it opens not just down, but like swings out. We're like, whoa, that's amazing. And then we found a remote starter and I can start my truck from here. This is awesome. This thing's getting better. Hidden compartment in the back. Can store a grown child. We tested it. How about your relationship with the Lord? God, I never knew it was going to be this good. I just opened the thing and it was just, I just needed forgiveness. But you've given me rest. You've given me peace and joy and hope. And it's been 30 years. It's been 40 years. It's been 50 years. And it's going to last all eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 says, thanks be to God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. There's 3 principles in gift giving. Number 1, the gift is an expression of the giver. Number 2, the gift ought to have some knowledge of the one receiving it. And the value, for the most part, is determined by how long it's going to last. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given. Let's all stand. you're here this morning and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, open that thing up. Get in on that. Receive that gift. I don't know what you would wait for. Number two, if you're saved, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Sometimes we forget just how great salvation is. So how can we forget? Because we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. And we forget about what it is that God actually did for us. In a moment, the music's going to play. If you've never trusted Christ, well, today should be the day. Number two, maybe you want to come and thank the Lord. Maybe the Lord touched your heart about something else. Whatever it is, in a moment, we'll pray and maybe you just come talk to the Lord a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the greatest gift ever given, the perfect gift, the gift that fits everybody, that meets every need. Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. I know I need you. I needed you. I still need you. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that we would consider you in all of this. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord. Maybe you want to come and be saved.